All right, Eddie already read chapter 24 of Acts as we continue our study of the book of Acts. And I'm going to go as quickly as possible so that we can get out as near on time as I know we've done a lot of other things today. But remember all these events that we described last week in chapter 23 are playing in God's grand design of getting Paul to Rome and in his providence where he would witness to the highest officials. Jesus said this even to his apostles, where you'll go and testify before kings and you'll testify before many others. And so you're getting, just moving Paul along. We talked about the purpose of God and how he intervenes in our lives and how he intervenes in the course of history. He intervenes in miracles. We showed the difference last week between miracles and providence. And you say, well, I don't think that's important. I think it's important for us to recognize, because many times we don't recognize the providence of God in our life. If you remember, we define miracles as when God violates the natural world and its processes to accomplish his purpose. Whereas providence is where God uses the circumstances other than the natural world to accomplish his purpose. And that's what's happening to Paul. Now, could God have done this miraculously? Could God come and just drop the chains from him, overcoming the laws of nature, and miraculously loose him and send him on to Rome, or actually just transport him Star Trek style? Yes. He could violate his own laws of nature and miraculously do that, but he did not. He used his nephew to come and tell Paul of a plot to kill him, and then to go tell the commander, Lysias, that there's a plot, and so God uses circumstances to providentially move him along in his will. He does the same thing in our lives. Remember, I gave the illustration of that. How many of you, just about everybody, said, I've had that time when I left 5 minutes late and I get to the intersection and there's an accident. Was that a miracle? It wasn't a miracle for the person in the accident. It was the providence of God, though, because God has a plan, a daily plan for you. And he said, okay, now it's your time to do this. It's your time to do this. It's your time to do that. And if you're here this morning, God has providentially brought you here. And he's got a plan for you today. You know, he tells us not to worry about tomorrow. That'll take care of itself. He's got a plan for you today. What is that plan? All right. So he's been escorted through his providence. He's been escorted by 470 soldiers get him to Caesarea. And when he gets to Caesarea, you've got three main characters. You've got Tertullus, is how you actually pronounce it, the name. But Tertullus, or Tertullus, we're going to call him Terry today, all right? So sorry, Terry. We're going to call him Terry because it's easy. And then we have Paul. And then we have Felix, that's a good one, like Felix the cat. So we got Felix here, and Felix is a black cat, I can tell you that already. He's a bad, bad guy, and he's not the one you want crossing your path. So that's Felix, and he's the governor. And another minor character, doesn't really say anything, but is his wife, Drusilla. Very interesting story behind her life. Here's the chapter, all right? In the first 9 verses, they've got all these false accusations, Terry, to Felix about Paul. He's on trial. And then we're going to get Paul's faithful answers after that in verse 10 all the way down through verse 21. That's majority of the chapter. And then Felix's attitude, which is an attitude of procrastination, which we'll finish up with in verse 22 through 27. So who are these people? All right, let's talk about Terry first. Terry's a lawyer. If we remember, this is Tertullus, not Terry Allen. So he's a lawyer, and he's probably very, very familiar. He's a hired gun. He's very familiar with the law, the Roman law, or he wouldn't get anywhere with Felix. Felix is a Roman governor. We'll come to that in a second. He was an orator. His job, he's been hired by Ananias the high priest and the elders, who are going to show up here in a minute, been hired by them. He's a hired gun to come in, butter up Felix, and bring these charges, and let's take care of Paul. They are after Paul. Then Felix is a bad guy. He's a bad man. He was corrupt. He stole his wife that he has right now, Drusilla, as a 15-year-old girl who was married. He married to another man. He was married. Felix was married. He lusted after her, seduced her, and married her. Stole her away and married her at about 15. They married a little young. So, and this was his third marriage, okay? And he was probably 30 years or so older than her. Tacitus, the historian, said about Felix, he had the office of a king, and he ruled it with the mind of a slave. And the reason that is because Felix was a slave originally, and then became a freedman. Felix and his brother, Pallas, were both slaves. And Pallas, they got their freedom, and they were slaves in the, listen to this, they were slaves under the daughter of Mark Antony, or Richard Burton, for those of you that don't know the Bible, but you know your movies, all right? They became, those are real characters, by the way, not Richard Burton, but Mark Antony. They got their freedom, and Pallas ultimately became the Secretary of the Treasury under Claudius and Nero, and he got him the job as governor of Judea. He was buddy-buddy with Claudius, and he ruled Judea they call him a procurator, which was the governor. And so he ruled from AD 52 to AD 59, and then he got called back to Rome. He ultimately gets whacked, as they all did. Now, Felix, bad, bad, bad guy. Who else was in a similar position about 30 years before this? Who else, for the prize, who else was in this position as the governor of Judea? Who? Pilate. Congratulations. Pontius Pilate. About 30 years before that. There was, probably six or seven guys between the two. But everything went wrong during his term. I looked at many, 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 many references to find out about Felix. There's not one that said he ever did anything. Nothing. So Felix is a sorry guy. Yes, sir.
Well, in the hospital, you said this guy reminded you.
Well, you weren't supposed to tell that. I'm just trying to cheer you up.
What of those qualities do
I remember? I heard that Felix was bald.
Okay.
Handsome. Oh, much better answer. I'm sorry. I'm a little slow.
Bad over here.
I know. That you have a here's what I should have said, that you have a very young and beautiful wife.
There you go.
That obviously you stole. We both married up, right? Okay.
I've heard that online.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Has nothing to do with the lesson. All right. Now, Drusilla is an interesting character, too, his wife. So let me just give you the background of Drusilla. She's the youngest daughter of Herod Agrippa I. Her great-grandfather, you all remember, tried to kill Jesus in Bethlehem. Her great-uncle killed John the Baptist and mocked Jesus. And her father killed the Apostle James. She comes from a great line of Christian lovers, doesn't she? So she's familiar with the way. That's important because he's going to refer to the way. See, she had been married to the king of Emesa, which was a small, she was a Emesa is what she was, but it's a small province in Syria. And so she was married to him when Felix came. And Felix, now listen to who Felix was married to. Felix had first married the great-granddaughter of Mark Antony and Cleopatra. Isn't that interesting? He divorced her, broke up Drusilla's marriage, and married the young teenager. Sorry, guy. She died, Drusilla died, in the eruption of Mount Vesuvius. So, all of that gives you the background of who we're talking about. Now, we are going to, this first portion, we are fortunate to have our own Tartulus in our class. We have an attorney. And he is going to play the part of Terry today. So, Dennis, come on up here with me. Dennis is going to bring the charges against Paul. And I need a Felix. Obviously, it's not you, John. You're Felix. So come with me. And John, here's the good thing. You have nothing to say. Sit right here, Felix. All right. Now, Dennis, normally I'd have you set up there, but it doesn't look safe because you got to be higher than Dennis. And it's tough to be higher than Dennis because Dennis is 8 foot tall. So
I've got good
let so he's Tertullus. Now, you bring the charge. I'm going to be Paul. I thought that was more fitting. Amen, Mike? Yeah, amen. All right. So
maybe another bright light come down.
That means that you guys didn't have to study. That's why I did that. There you go. So, Terry, bring the charges against me, all right? To our bad guy, Felix.
Most honorable Felix, we are most grateful in all times and places for your wise and gentle rule. We are much aware that it is because of you and you alone that we enjoy all this peace and gain daily profit from your reforms. I'm not going to tire you out with a long speech. I beg your kind indulgence in listening to me, and I'll be quite brief. Here are the charges. Number one, Paul is a troublemaker. He's guilty of sedition and treason, which is a violation of Roman law. We found this man time and again disturbing the peace, stirring up riots against Jews all over the world. Number two, Paul is a leader of a dangerous anti-Roman cult, guilty of sectarianism, a violation of Jewish law. He is the ringleader of a seditious sect called the Nazarenes. Number three, Paul even tried to desecrate the temple. He is guilty of sacrilege, which is a violation of God. We caught him trying to defile our holy temple and arrested him.
Now, what Felix did was just go, what do you say to that, big boy? That's basically what he did. We don't have that, but that's if you read it in the Jones version, that's what it says. All right, so Felix gives me the opportunity as Paul to respond. Thank you, Terry. Felix, to the charge of sedition, which is the first charge, or treason, how could I stir up a riot? I've only been back in the country 12 days, and I'm sure Paul had the use of PowerPoint. So this is what I've been doing for 12 days, all right? So I want you to see what I've been doing. They said I started to write. Day one, I got in Jerusalem. Day two, I met with James and the elders. Day three, I was in the temple with the Nazarites. Day four, I was in the temple. Day five, I was in the temple. Day six, I was arrested in the temple. Day seven, I met with the Jewish council. Day eight, I found out about a threat. They were going to kill me. They get me out of town, take me here to Caesarea, finally get here. And I arrived on day nine. Day 10, I'm waiting for the Jewish leaders to arrive, Ananias and the chief elders. And I'm waiting on day 11, and now I'm here on day 12. So that how could I stir up a riot? This was my activities, Felix. So this is all baloney. I came to worship in the temple at Pentecost. That's why I was in Jerusalem. I've been minding my old business. Nobody saw me in the temple trying to do anything other than worship. Number two, to the charge of sectarianism. In other words, I'm leading a sect. I'm innocent of leading a cult. I'm devoted to spiritual truth. I serve the God of the Hebrews. I believe in everything in the Hebrew scriptures. I hope in the God of the Hebrews. I anticipate a resurrection and final judgment before this God, just like the Pharisees do in the Sanhedrin. And since Judaism is a recognized religion of Rome, which it's all you're interested in, Felix. I didn't say that, but that's what he's interested in. And the Jews hate him, absolutely despise him. I don't understand that with such a kind face. To the charge of sacrilege or desecrating the temple. He said, "Listen, I didn't desecrate the temple. I donated a large sum of money to the temple to help these four guys. I went to the rite of purification with them in the temple. I'm being purified. I'm not a defiler. I went through, I came with a large gift to give to the Jewish Christians while I'm here. The Jews who accuse me, these Asian Ephesian Jews, are not even here. And you know, as a Roman citizen, I get to have my accusers face me. I'm on trial because I believe in the resurrection of all humanity to face a final judgment before God. Think about that, Felix. All right, go sit down. Thank you, Felix. Good job. Now, so the charges, he said, you're charged with sedition, treason. That's really got Felix's attention because they're trying to get him out based on the fact that he's stirring up a riot against Rome. And Rome wants peace. They don't want anybody, no revolts. The Jews revolted one time too many, finally, and Titus, the emperor, came in, the general came in and wiped out Jerusalem in 70 AD, destroyed it and killed everyone there because they were stirring up riots. And they said that you're guilty of being a sectarian, a leader of a sect, a cult, because you had to be, to have any type of worship, it had to be an approved religion in Rome. Of course, he said, we're just the fulfillment of the Jewish scriptures. We believe in the way that you're familiar with, it says. And Drusilla ought to be familiar with it. Her great-grandfather tried to kill Jesus, and on and on and on. So, what happens? What does Felix do? Look at verse 22. Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. When Lysias, the commander, comes, he says, I will decide your case. He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of him. So, what does he do? He waits. Felix is the best example in Scripture of procrastination. Let's put it off. He waits again. Verse 25, Paul comes talk about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. Felix was afraid and said, that's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you. When I find it convenient. I love what Paul's message was. Did you catch that? Did you catch his message? Look in verse 25. Well, verse 24, he spoke about faith in Christ. He's telling the gospel. And in verse 25, he said, look, Felix, I want to talk to you about righteousness, which means you must do something about yesterday's sin. You're not righteous, Felix. You know it. And he talked to him about self-control. I need to talk to you about today's temptation and the lust and the unbridled, uncontrolled behavior that are exhibited without Jesus, especially in your life, Felix. I don't know if he said it or not. I got a feeling he did. And then he said, I want to talk to you about the judgment to come. I want to talk to you about, you got to do something about tomorrow because judgment's coming. And how did he react? He was afraid. He was under conviction. I'm sure he went home the day before that, and Drusilla said, hey, honey, how'd it go today? She go, well, he said, I had this guy named Paul, and he was talking about the way. And she goes, oh, I know that way. And he said, yeah, why don't you come with me tomorrow, and we'll go listen to Paul and see what he has to say. Perfect opportunity, and Paul lays into him. Judgment, self-control, and judgment to come. Righteousness, I'm sorry, self-control, and judgment to come. And how does he respond? I think I'll wait. Procrastinate. I think I'll wait. 2 years. 2 years Paul's there. Now the providence of God has led Paul there, and Paul already knows that he's going to Rome, right? He knows it. Jesus appeared to him last week and said, Paul, you got to go to Rome. I'm going to get you there. And he said, well, I think I'll use this opportunity to preach. And we don't have any books that were written during that time. We don't know of anything else that happened except Paul got a 2-year rest and got to preach to Felix and Drusilla and the others. Can you imagine being chained to Paul for 2 years? You think that? I think I'll see that jailer in heaven someday, don't you? But not Felix. Felix takes off, says, I'll do it another time. Procrastination. Delay hardens the heart, and delay distracts the mind with less important things. Now, that's true when we think about salvation, isn't it? People that we know that say, I'm going to put it off. Just like Felix. I'm going to put it off. I'm going to put it off. I'm going to put it off. But can I just ask you today to think about it in terms of you as a Christian? Can I ask you just to think about it for a moment as I did this week? I'm really good at procrastination around the house. And some of you are right there with me. You know what I'm talking about. Certain thing needs to be fixed, and I'm thinking, you know, 2 months from now, I'm going to be free. I'll put it on my calendar, and I'll get it fixed. For some things that I put off to be fixed at home, my wife is eternally grateful because that gives her time to find someone that comes in and knows how to fix it, to fix it. But we practice that, but I thought over my Christian life, how many times have I procrastinated to do God's leading in my own life? And I would ask you to think right now, am I putting off doing something for Jesus? Have I encountered Him in my prayer, in my reading of Scripture, in my fellowshipping with Christians, in my life group, in my church, in my small group, or wherever I'm at, and said, you know, I'll get to that. As I was trying to apply it this week to my life, because it's hard to apply Felix to your life, because I got saved and got that taken care of, and judgment to come is taken care of because I believe that Jesus died on the cross for that judgment, and that's taken care of in my life and in your life. Amen? But I have found myself to say, you know, yes, Lord, I'd like to witness to that person, but I'll do it at a better time. I'll do it. And that was 10 years ago. I know I need to be serving, not just sitting. But I know, when I retire, when I do this, when I get a new house, when I sell this house, when I sell this car, when I do this, when I get over this illness, when I get over this, and yet the Lord say, here's a place of service. Here's something you do. Don't procrastinate. Let's don't be the Christian Felix. And you say, well, I don't know what that is. It's whatever you're thinking about right now. Don't procrastinate. Amen? Amen. No amens there. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this lesson today of the boldness of Paul and just coming out and saying, Felix, you're the man. Here's the problem. It's you haven't got your sin dealt with. You don't deal with it today. And because of that, the judgment is coming. What a lesson, what a teaching about what's important in life. Teach me, Father, show me if there's something that I've been putting off to serve, to talk to someone, to help someone. Show me what that may be in a convincing fashion, in a convicting fashion, so that I can do it and speak likewise to those of us that are in this room today and that love you and want to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.